Amit Mahesh Jethmalani, nominated Member of Parliament in the Rajya Sabha, Senior Supreme Court Advocate and Legal Advisor to the Devendra Fadnavis, the BJP leader, Legal Advisor to his camp. And today, of course, we're discussing the very fast-moving developments. They have reached some sort of a denouement in Maharashtra. Mr. Jethmalani is, of course, a very well-known Mumbaikar. So first of all, let me welcome you to the print. Mr. Jethmalani, welcome.
Thank you, Jyoti. Thank you so much.
In a sense, the event of the last few days have finally come to an end. They are culminating in a new government being formed in Maharashtra. But is this going to be a BJP Shiv Sena rebel government led by Ekanath Shinde? Is this going to be headed by the Shiv Sena? Give me a flavor of what's going on.
Well, first of all, it will be a BJP and a Shiv Sena government. But okay. I would caution you against using the word rebel, because who is the real Shiv Sena is probably something that will be an aspect that will be determined in the future, probably before the election commission. We don't know the rebel is who strayed from one's ideology, who formed an unholy alliance with disparate alliance partners, right? Mm-hmm. And who was losing ground because of that alliance. So those are all factors which will determine.
So Mr. Shinde is going to lay claim to the Shiv Sena symbol and to the party offices and to...
I expect so. Yes. I mean, it's a very emotive issue for all Shiv Senics. It's a very emotive issue. Who gets the legacy of the bow and arrow symbol and the legacy of the Shiv Sena, which is really Bal Thackeray's legacy?
So they believe that they are the real Shiv Sena, the Ekanath Shinde camp.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ideologically, they believe the other camp has strayed far too astray.
So they've strayed from what? What has the Bal...
Ideological moorings, Hindutva, in bed with the old enemy, the NCP and Congress, whom your cadres have fought for time from times immemorial, right? Who have basically got all the patronage that state government has at its disposal. The cadres have been ignored. The elected legislators, as you know, 49 of them have broken ranks. So they're all disgruntled.
Right.
Ideological grounds and ground reality that we're losing ground on the floor, at the ground level.
So in a sense, you will concede, therefore, that the BJP was behind this whole thing.
No. I'm not conceding that at all. I mean, that conclusion doesn't follow from the premise. This was an organic development, right? It was an organic development because first there was a betrayal of a mandate, which didn't go down well from the very beginning.
Okay.
Right. Secondly, your alliance was with traditional enemies, ideologically diametrically opposed.
Okay. Right?
Then you found corruption. You found the usual illnesses of dynasty affecting a party. Mm-hmm. You found imposition from the top, cadres being ignored, grassroots leaders from times immemorial who had built strong bases like Ekanath Shinde, right? Marginalized. You found a man with no electoral experience and really Sharad Pawar's mouthpiece, mm-hmm, becoming the spokesperson of the party and his vituperative language.
Well, Mr. Pawar, in a sense, he's the one who put the coalition together 2.5 long years ago. And I would imagine that you would recognize that, the fact that he was very shrewd about it and went about it in a very shrewd manner. So you recognize the real politic behind it, I'm sure.
So why is one alliance shrewd and the other not so shrewd?
No, I didn't say anything about the new alliance. I haven't said anything. I'm just saying...
I have no doubt that... Sharad Pawar is an old master at politics. I mean, if you're saying that, yes, of course he is.
Okay.
I mean, but there's no ideological cohesion there. At least this coalition was natural. It pre-existed. It won the mandate, and it is ideologically cohesive. Sharad Pawar's ideology is what, basically? Somewhere to the left or right of self-interest.
So it was doomed to fail.
I think so. I think in the long run, people... Look, it was never tested. The first test now, post the betrayal, was coming up in the October municipal corporation elections. Uh-huh. Alliances don't work just because you break away.
How do they work?
They work on mutual agreement. and mutual respect and ability to count who has the majority numbers.
So Devendra Fadnavis will be the new chief minister and Mr. Shinde will be the deputy chief minister, yes?
I expect so, but I am not that much in the inner circle to say that for sure. But that is my reasonable expectation.
Okay. And how do you think the portfolios are going to be split? Is it going to be like a 50-50 division of Labour? How do you think it falls?
I'm a legal advisor to Mr. Devendra Fadnavis and the BJP in this matter. I do not have any idea about cabinet formation. I would be straying way too far from my designated role to venture into that area.
So what do you, when you say legal advisor to the Devendra Fadnavis camp in this whole crisis, what exactly do you mean by that?
What do legal advisors do? They advise you on questions of disqualification, what the other, how the other side is going to react, what is going to happen in court, the legality of your own actions.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what happened behind the scenes these last 10 days or so. Well, less than 10 days, but when the Uddhav Thackeray camp or when the deputy speaker, when he said that all these rebels are going to be disqualified, or at the time they were rebels, today they're no longer rebels. What happened then? And what was your advice to the Fadnavis group?
Well, that we had to wait for the other side. First, we had to wait for Mr. Eknath Shinde to decide that he wants to move away from the Sena, which he did. We had to see the numbers he had, whether we could then, in the long term, form a viable alliance with him to take over government. How that would play out legally in the courts, who would move first, who would be the first mover to the courts, right? Which issue was not, could never be predetermined, because one of the triggers for the Eknath Shinde faction to move court first was the disqualification by the deputy speaker, the completely illegal disqualification which he planned. When his own position was challenged that you had lost the majority, when he was informed by a notice, as per the constitution, that you have lost your right to be deputy speaker, hold your horses. He still went ahead.
But in a sense, he sort of fed into, I mean, you basically baited him.
No.
No?
How do you bait a deputy speaker? Sorry, I don't know. I mean, this is not a fishing expedition.
My question is that when the deputy speaker, when he disqualified the 16 or 17 MLAs at the time belonging to the Shinde camp, before you challenged that disqualification.
Yes, but we didn't bait him into it. We didn't bait him into it. He saw the numbers. He saw the numbers there. And he should have been aware of the law as a deputy speaker, including the rules of his own legislative assembly and what the rules mandate him to do.
Okay.
The deputy speaker, I'm afraid to say, acted totally and manifestly illegal. Didn't even read the rule of the Maharashtra Legislative Assembly. He had a notice saying, you've lost the majority, tested on the floor. When that happens, he has to stay his hand. Instead, he issued disqualification proceedings against 16, an attempt. I mean, if he really thought that this was a defection, right? He should have done it for all of them, an attempt to split them. Mm-hmm. So this was politics at its worst, in defiance and in violation of constitutional mandates. Courts had to be moved because the first step to court was taken by Eknath Shinde's group because of the disqualification threat by a speaker who had no right to act.
Did it help your cause that there was no speaker?
No. Because in the absence of a speaker, the deputy speaker has all the powers of a speaker. Mm-hmm. So, not really. I mean, they were both basically members of the MVA alliance.
Right. And why did it take the Shinde camp so long finally to sort of say to the governor or, you know, Mr. Shinde to arrive in Maharashtra, which he has done now finally, and to say that, and to stake claim to form the government?
Well, I don't see this being as really being a prolonged action, but steps had to be taken so that.
Like what?
You wouldn't get mired in further legal battles. The most important step was to get that disqualification state, that threat of disqualification, which was illegal, right? That had to be a first step. That took time to prepare that. to prepare that, move court and get a hearing and an order.
And you know, this has been this question has been asked a few times, but why go all the way to Assam to, you know, to undertake this operation in faraway Maharashtra, which is your home base?
Assam has got a convivial atmosphere. There's a temple there, the Kamakhya temple, which you know, where if you go there, apparently your wishes are fulfilled.
I know, but so you go to Assam, you go to Surat, you go to...
Look, resort politics was really started by the Congress party, and it's then grown and thrived ever since then.
So this has become, I mean, this is like a classic sort of a, you know, Mr. Fadnavis coming back after 2.5 years. It was a sorry scene for him 2.5 years ago when he lost the government after 80 hours with Ajit Pawar. That experiment didn't work. So in a sense, you would say that he's the man of the hour, or would it be Eknath Shinde?
Both. Both. If there was a man of the match award, I would share it between them.
No, you can't share an award. Who is the man of the hour according to you?
According to me, it's so close that I can't even say. I can't distinguish between the two, and it's a little absurd for me to even make that fine distinction. Because they both, this government would not have come into existence, this prospective government would not have been a possibility, but not for both of them. They were both essential. In fact, so were all the MLAs who came with Eknath Shinde.
So did they sort of work closely together from the start?
Look, from the start, I don't know, because I was enlisted as a legal advisor in late last year. So I can't even pinpoint the start, but yes, this would have been planned many moons ago, at least about 2 years ago.
And the Legislative Council, so as long as 2 years ago, you're saying?
Yeah.
So Eknath Shinde has been disgruntled for the last 2 years.
I would imagine he was uncomfortable very soon after he saw the results of the experiment of the MVA.
But didn't say a word about it at the time.
Politicians keep their cards close to their chest. That's good politics. Ask Sharad Pawar, you should know.
So Uddhav Thackeray, who was chief minister, do you think that was perhaps the first wrong move? Which is, you know, his father always held control over the reins of the party, but never really became chief minister. Do you think that was the first bad move by Uddhav Thackeray?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because at least the perception was... whereas the real power lay behind the throne, right? Yeah. Here was somebody who was entering the political arena now, you know. Bala Sahib Thackeray always kept himself away from the heat and dust of the political milieu.
And Uddhav Thackeray should have done the same.
I can't speak for Uddhav Thackeray. I mean, I would imagine that he might have regretted now, but I don't know if you love the nomenclature of being the next chief minister, I guess, you know. Whatever turns you on.
No, I'm just wondering that if Eknath Shinde had been given control of the party, because he is a powerful politician, he understands the ground, that seems very clear. But do you think that this sort of split between the Shiv Sena could have been averted? And right now, I'm not talking about the BJP.
Look, I don't know the real, you know... reasons for what happened. I can only speculate to some extent, but it may be one of the contributing factors. It may be the fact that he decided to seize the throne himself, take the reins of power in his own hands, may have been a fact.
But
it may have played out otherwise, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
Sorry, say that again. Sorry.
It may have played out otherwise if that hadn't happened.
Yeah, but you know, right now you're saying that 2 years ago, Eknath Shinde, I think he felt... he wasn't happy with the way the Uddhav Thackeray government was proceeding, and therefore reached out to Devendra Fadnavis or to the BJP.
I don't think you have to reach out. I think Devendra Fadnavis and Eknath Shinde always have a good equation. It's the question of reaching out. You don't do it for the first time. Right. All of that, they've been working together in the previous government.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They've been closely associated. They've had a great, very good equation always.
Yeah, and Fadnavis, so you know, he wasn't. They lost. Although the between the two of them, between the BJP and the Shiv Sena, they had the numbers, but they couldn't form the government. And
so when? That, when?
After the election.
When couldn't the inception? They could have if Uddhav Thackeray hadn't insisted on getting the Chief Minister chair.
At the time?
At the very inception, yeah. At the very inception post-election. At the formation of government, when he saw how the numbers dropped and the BJP, because of its generosity in seat distribution, couldn't get a majority on its own and required the Shiv Sena's support, he decided that he wanted to make a grab for the Chief Minister. Of course, he will tell you that this was agreed before, but to my information, it wasn't. But that's another story. I don't know. I'm not getting into that.
So it wasn't agreed before. He still staked claim to the Chief Minister's chair.
Yeah.
And that was the breaking point. And that's the BJP didn't want that. They didn't like that.
But the BJP said that, no, that we have the numbers. There was no such assurance given.
So the BJP was willing to forsake the government, but not given to Uddhav Thackeray's.
If you see how the BJP works, it's very rigid that, look, the party, but the, I mean, Bihar, we have yielded to the experience and numbers of Nitish Kumar.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've seen the BJP, it's very strong in its stance when it wants to be. Can be accommodated. But this alliance was really, the alliance really won because of the undoubted charisma of Prime Minister Modi. I mean, he just come out fresh out of his huge electoral victory in the parliamentary elections.
Right.
And this was held in November 2019. So the Modi wave was still very much on. And Devendra was the local face. We had a strong local face. Devendra Fadnavis was a very successful chief minister for the 5 years. It was a very smooth government with very few hiccups.
Right. So was this about a dilution of Hindutva, which is also what some people are saying? Or was this about the claimant to the chair? Or both? No.
The reason for Uddhav betraying the alliance was the chair, right? Mm-hmm. The split in the party, right, seems to have been because of serious ideological compromises, right? And losing ground, partly as a result of that, politically, to the NCP and the Congress gaining strength. That was Sharad Pawar's game. He's not only interested in making Uddhav Thackeray chief minister. He wanted to remote control Uddhav Thackeray, which he did, Sanjay Raut, right? And he also wanted to strengthen his own base, which had there been the BJP Sena alliance, right, they would have been weakened.
So Eknath Shinde believed that it was at the expense of the Shiv Sena or at the expense of the ideology of the Shiv Sena that this is what Uddhav Thackeray, Sharad Pawar and the rest of the NBA were doing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's now clear from, that's one of the main reasons.
So therefore, he splits and moves towards the BJP and the BJP sort of welcomes him with open arms.
Absolutely. I mean, contrary to past experience, now actually gravitating towards a Hindutva party is no longer considered to be taboo. Normally, if you see, people would leave the BJP and form alliances right now. Today, the BJP is the pole.
Of course, but which one is, I'm just wondering, the BJP's primary ideology is that of Hindutva. The Shiv Sena has also, you know, run a very extreme right-wing politics. So which of the two, in your opinion, how does it mesh together?
It meshes together because they're ideologically cohesive. You just said that they're both Hindutva parties. The alliance with NCP and Congress betrayed that ideological cohesiveness. It undermined it. And that was going to cost them politically when elections came up.
So is the rebel, no longer rebel, but is the Shinde camp going to merge with the BJP or are they going to stay?
I don't know. That still has to play out. I have really no idea about that. The first thing was to remove a government that had lost its majority so that you could find a constitutionally viable government, that is, a government headed by a person who commanded the majority of support in the assembly. That's the first. What happens later on, who joins this alliance, how many more people come, is a secondary step.
So you would, how would you say that Uddhav Thackeray was a sort of a greenhorn or perhaps a reluctant politician? And then that
I don't want to make any personal statements against anybody, right? I think he made mistakes, and that's about all I'd say. I think in my humble political view, he made mistakes. I mean, I don't know whether that was a greenhorn, a mistake which you can attach to a greenhorn, right? But it cost him. That's all I can say. In hindsight, I think it cost him.
Clearly, this operation was masterminded by the BJP. I mean, it's quite brilliantly and pretty flawless, I have to admit.
No, I mean, the execution was flawless, but the planning was organic. It happened by circumstances. It was not, as one anchor of another channel said, a script. It was not a script. Mm-hmm. There was growing discontentment, and the original alliance came together, right? Because they realized the high costs of an unholy alliance.
And when the split happened, and you said it was organic, in a sense, the BJP and the Shinde camp came together, and that was organic too, was it?
That was the original alliance was precisely that. Please understand, this alliance has had many successes. In 2014 to 2019, they ran a five-year, very successful government. They won municipal corporation elections. They won a lot of Zilla Parishads. The Congress and the NCP were facing, eradication.
And yet when Devendra Fadnavis, although his party had the maximum numbers after the last elections, couldn't put the government together, lost favor with the high command in Delhi.
I don't know about that. It was an attempt. It was perhaps not a very well-planned attempt compared to the present one to stake a claim to government. Promises were made. Those people who wanted to align with the BJP didn't have the numbers, contrary to what they proclaimed. Mm-hmm. And the government didn't come into existence. It's as simple as that.
So this time.
The lesson to be learned from that was well learned. That make sure about not only the numbers, but also the ideological cohesiveness of your allies. Ultimately, the reason why most of the defections happened from the opposition parties is because of absence of ideology. You'll never find the BJP defecting. BJP legislators rarely defect.
But was there a fear at any time over the last week or so that some of these MLAs in the Shinde camp would go back to the Uddhav Thackeray camp?
I don't think so, no. Not that I heard of anyway. I don't know what was going on in Devendra's mind, but certainly not. It was never voiced with me.
And they were talking to each other. I mean, they didn't. They weren't in Guwahati.
The test is, forget what was going on in Devendra's mind or anybody else's mind, right? The fact is, after first emotional appeals to come back failed, there was massive violence and intimidation. There was vandalization of homes and offices, right? There were threats that when you come back to Bombay, you will be in a mortuary. Your dead bodies will come back. Now, I don't see any of the so-called liberal press screaming foul about that, which amazes me. Which truly amazes me.
No, I think there was a lot of criticism about
it. It's okay by the Shiv Sena, so long as it's in conjunction with the Congress and the NCP.
No, I don't agree. I think there was a lot of criticism about that, about these threats that were put out. I think there's no question about that. There was a lot of criticism.
Don't you think that should have been the ground? May I ask you a counter question? Don't you think that should have been a ground for the Congress NCP to have withdrawn their support and backed out of a Shiv Sena, Uddhav Thackeray, Sanjay Raut-led alliance?
Well, I'm not the subject of the conversation here, Mr. Jethmalani. But let me just say that
I just thought I'll toss one ball into your court.
maybe another time. But I do want to say that this was absolutely a flawlessly executed operation. And the mastermind, whether it was Devendra Fadnavis, yourself.
No, not me. I have no such claims. Please, I was only a lawyer. Devendra Fadnavis and Eknath Shinde. Give them full credit for this. And the team of lawyers in the court who represented Eknath Shinde both during the disqualification proceedings and subsequently last night.
And definitely Prime Minister Modi. I mean, he was traveling abroad, but there was obviously you can't do anything without his say-so and Home Minister Amit Shah. There's no question, right?
There would be blessings. Yeah. There would be their blessing. Nobody moves without the blessing of the top leadership.
Absolutely. So what's the moral of the story here? And that's my last question.
The moral of the story is that don't underestimate ideology. Don't be a purely power-driven party. Of course, all political parties are in the business of politics for power. But don't be only power-driven. Get ideological cohesiveness. Absence of ideology, you know, weakens you. It makes you prone to extraneous factors for politicians. And it makes for constant defections. The Ayaram, Gayaram whole trend in this country has been because people gravitate towards power irrespective of ideology.
So Uddhav Thackeray wanted the chair, but he didn't pay attention to it. He was, you know, he didn't watch it for long enough. He wasn't careful about it. He didn't see what the hell was going on inside his own.
No, he wanted the chair so much that he joined parties who are ideologically detrimental. They hated your ideology of Hindutva. A. B. The only time that he harked back to his ideological origins, if I may say so, was when he was about to be removed. And he started this renaming of Aurangabad and
to Sambhaji Nagar.
Sambhaji Nagar. Which his his non-ideological allies, surprisingly, almost as a, you know, sort of consolation prize for him, agreed to.
Well, that was already a little, you know, too little, too late. And I think Mr. Thackeray was sort of hanging on to the last sort of vestiges of power. But Mr. Jethmalani, thank you so much for your time and for talking to me in the print. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you, Jyoti. Thank you very much.